Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 27th of November, and I'm recording at a late-ish 11:10 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Late because I was at a concert, the wonderful London Philharmonic Orchestra, the Royal Festival Hall, hearing two Polish composers who were born in 1933, Krzysztof Paderewski, and the even better known Henryk Górecki, or Górecki, I beg your pardon to pronounce it correctly. Wonderful stuff. But now back to the markets, and some wonderful stuff here, no doubt. And first, looking at stock markets, well, they've got that monetary tailwind, haven't they? And that is more important than anything else, and it's kept stock markets firm in here today. First, taking the Asia-Pacific region. Now, Japan, which of course had been on a roll during the previous 3 weeks, is moved up to test the top of its medium-term consolidation trading range, first step above the base. So it just eased back a little bit, but less than 0.5% here today. The China markets were all firmer today, and some decent gains, nearly 1% by the Shanghai Composite, and 1.39% for the Shenzhen Composite. The declines, well, they're tiny, very tiny, barely register here for India, although I think India is probably likely to be up tomorrow because the rupee has declined. It's down to 62.15 against the U.S. dollar, and if that starts moving below 62, that will lend support. It's just the opposite of Japan. Japan has the overvalued currency and benefits from a weaker yen, which makes its exports ever more competitive, and although it does increase their import costs, inevitably. Whereas in India, it's just the opposite problem. They've got this terrific problem with food price inflation, and that's caused the currency to be very weak earlier in the year, up until September, when the new central bank governor was appointed, and therefore when the rupee weakens, I beg your pardon, when the rupee strengthens, then India does a little bit better. Now, elsewhere, the Asian stock markets, now they've been ranging sideways, as I've been mentioning every day here, for about a month and a half overall. But they're pushing up within those ranges. And the Spanish and Italian markets, again today, showing the best percentage moves, nearly 1% in Spain and 0.8% in Italy. So it's quiet overall, but firmer within the ranges overall. And the fact that Spain and Italy are leading here, and they are often the focal point of concern, or they have been, say, over the last number of months, that steady action by them suggests that the bulls are still in charge here. And then there is this, again, this monetary tailwind in Europe. Now, we certainly also have a big monetary tailwind on Wall Street, and despite the overbought, overextended condition, concerns that if the Fed goes on with this QE, that it will fuel a bubble, and say valuations are higher, and the market is in somewhat of a disconnect between what is actually happening with the underlying economy. It's not a serious situation, but I tend to hope that the Fed will not just cost caution to the winds and and fuel another bubble. The Fed has fueled plenty of bubbles in the past, and they always end badly. So the best outlook for Wall Street would be a mean reversion reaction and consolidation. Whether we see that in the short term, that would probably require some exogenous event that worries investors, or a statement from the Fed that they're keeping an eye on it. So, excuse me, up 0.25% for the S&P, and the NASDAQ firmer in here, up 0.67%. Okay, what else is going on? Now, crude oil prices, interesting day in here today. I think we've got a $19 spread now between the Brent and the WTI. The WTI has been weaker in here today. And the main reason for that is that U.S. crude production increased by 45,000 barrels a day to 8.02 million. That's the most the crude that the U.S. has produced in almost 25 years. And that's mostly thanks to the fracking activities that are taking place. And this spread between the WTI and the Brent just emphasizes the U.S.'s incredibly competitive advantage here in terms of energy prices. Now, that's at least a medium-term theme, and if it's a longer-term theme, it will help the United States stock market to outperform more often than not over the distant future. And another factor that will work in favor of the U.S. is, of course, its lead, which I maintain is actually increasing in the field of technological innovation, and that's the most exciting thing that's taking place of all in terms of economic developments, in my opinion. Okay, so what else have we got here to talk about? And just bringing up a different screen here while I talk to you. Now, the dollar, which had been soft yesterday, the dollar index, that is, was slightly firmer in here today, 80.72. Sterling, steady, right around the 1.6283, and that was actually an upside breakout against the U.S. dollar. So sterling's firm, and looks like it's going to go higher in here. Provided the Bank of England doesn't try to hold it in check, as we have been seeing with the Australian central bank. And they're trying to prevent their currency from going up because it has been really quite strong. And I think, though, that the central bank in the UK will not mind sterling pushing a little bit higher here, because we've got this nagging inflation rate too close to the 3% level. Meanwhile, the euro quietly steady here, 1.3573 against the US dollar. That's actually barely changed. Now, a more interesting development in precious metals here. We had steady gold this morning, but it did not last. For instance, gold was up to 1241 earlier on. Remember, it had that key day reversal, small upside key day reversal a couple of days ago, and it is down not far from the lows, down which were at about 1180 back in, or was it 1188, but thereabouts back at the end of June. So gold has drifted back to just about the lowest level since then, and it had that key, as I mentioned, a couple of days ago, but we've had no upside follow-through. And today was discouraging because it was, for the Bulls at any rate, because it was steady overall, but then slipped down to 12:34 and a half and closed, it's trading right now after hours, at 12:38 and change. Now, is that June low going to hold? Well, looking at the chart evidence here overall, it takes really an act of faith to believe that that will happen. I'll put it another way. The bears are in charge, and we need some clear upward dynamics. And not having had big keys and not having had any follow-through on those keys, that suggests they were going to go down first. And my point is that, anybody with a gold long position won't be too happy with that, but I think we're very clearly in the latter stages of the decline overall. And if we do get an overextension to the downside, that will create another extremely very good buying opportunity. Okay, what else to mention commodity markets? And just looking at another screen here to bring up a little bit of additional evidence. Sorry, I'm not. Here we go. Industrial metals soft here overall. All down on the day except for copper, which was fractionally higher, but it's still only 320 in the U.S. So this is soft, and the commodity shares have been underperforming here once again over the last couple of weeks. A number of the miners, for instance, have weakened fairly sharply and retraced the rallies that they saw earlier in the month. So we still have this disinflationary, slow-growth environment overall, and a whiff of deflation here in terms of all this overall activity. So that will probably encourage the Fed to maintain its quantitative easing, QE, unless, as I say, they get concerned about the possibility that if they continue with this policy right through to March, as most people are now expecting, they're going to pump Wall Street up further, and that would be a bit start to get a bit bubblish. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.